Last week, you heard the beginning of this prodigal son story. The story of the younger brother who asked for his inheritance early before going away to a distant land to squander it all. He was left in dire straits, eating the food of pigs, and eventually devised a plan to return home as one of his father's slaves. As I hope you will remember, the story turned on its head when the father ran out to greet his boy as he crossed over the horizon and threw a party for him that was worthy of a king. The son had no time to repent or say anything before he was wrapped in the loving embrace of his dad. A father who was overwhelmed with joy because his son who was lost was found. He was dead, but was alive again. We pick up today, midway through this party the dad is throwing for his youngest son, and this is when we meet the older brother. The brother who didn't leave. The brother who has been working hard in the fields, doing what was expected of him, being the faithful oldest son. At the end of the day, this older brother comes in from the fields and hears some commotion coming from the house. Now I can imagine the sting of pain he must have felt in that moment. He didn't know what was happening or what was being celebrated, but he did know he wasn't there. He knew no one had told him about the party. He knew he hadn't been invited. From the get-go, I'm sure he feels left out. He doesn't belong. He's forgotten. He asked one of the slaves what's going on, hoping it's not as bad as his feelings make it out to be. Turns out, it's worse. His brother, his rude, lazy, squandering brother, had the audacity to come home. And his dad wasn't reprimanding him, wasn't punishing him, wasn't putting him in his place. Instead, his dad killed the fatted calf for him and gave him a seat at the head table as if he's this model upstanding boy. The older brother, as I'm sure you can imagine, is really angry about this. And his anger is only fueled when his dad comes out and finally invites him to this party. He yells at his dad, explaining how he's been working like a slave for him for years, that he's never gotten what he's deserved. He's never been celebrated or given a party with his friends. How dare he betray him like this? What lives and grows in the older brother is an envy, resentment, self-righteousness, all of which has been seeded and grown by years of working hard and being without fault, not because he loves his life with his father, but so that he can earn love from his father, so he can be above reproach, so he never has to be humiliated or humbled by something he's done terribly wrong, so he never has to come back begging, so he never has to be forgiven. The older brother lives his life in a way that avoids forgiveness, which in one sense is extremely honorable. He works hard, he honors his father, he faithfully fulfills his vocation. These are all good things. But for the older brother, they're not done from a place of love or service. They're done from a place of bondage, duty, obligation. They're done with an expectation that it will pay off one day. The older brother is just as lost as the younger brother, just as torn apart from the loving relationship the father wants to have with him. This is why it's impossible for the older brother to accept his father's forgiveness of his younger brother. Because if he has to live up to these self-made impossible standards, then so does everybody else. If his father is forgiving his son, then what does that mean for everything he's done? All the work he's put into their life together, everything he's sacrificed for his dad, does it mean nothing? Does it earn him nothing? This is the core of his anger and self-righteousness, and it is a disease of the heart, of the soul. And this is why he refuses to go to that party, because joy and resentment cannot live together. I want to return to the beginning of Luke 15 and remember why Jesus is telling this story in the first place. Luke writes, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" What Jesus was seeing out in the real world was that the younger brothers, sinners, tax collectors, the outwardly lost, the obvious bad people, they were getting close to him. And the older brothers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the good guys, the ones who followed the rules and were upstanding citizens, they weren't okay with it. They were grumbly, angry, self-righteous. This prodigal son story is the story Jesus tells in response to what he's seen. So it's important to remember that Jesus doesn't end the story with the younger brother coming home, with the sinners and tax collectors being given a party. Jesus ends the story with the father telling his oldest son, his angry son, who feels like he's been given the short end of the stick after spending his whole life trying to earn it, by telling him, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." This party doesn't negate anything that we have or share together. My forgiveness for your brother doesn't mean your work was in vain. All I want is for you to join me at the table where we can be a family together, where we can celebrate the joy of one another, where all who are lost, you included, can belong and find a place and experience a grace that they did not have to earn. This is the kind of party the Father is throwing. And Jesus wants these grumbling religious leaders to know that the table is big enough for the older brothers too. For the people who do everything right, but whose hearts are filled with envy and resentment. For the people who think they're above forgiveness and can earn their way into God's loving arms. For the people who come to church, but do so envious of those who are out enjoying brunch right now and are seemingly given the same gift. Jesus says to all the sons, to all of us, "You are always with me, and everything that is mine is yours. I don't want you to be lost to anger and resentment and self-righteousness. I want you to receive the grace you so desperately need and come join us at the party. A party of joy and life and community, a party where you belong right next to your brother and right next to me." So to all the older brothers here today, You are always with Jesus, and all that is his is yours. He has thrown a party for you, not because of anything you did or didn't do, but because he takes great joy in being with you, in showering you with grace, in celebrating that no sin and no work will ever get in the way of God's forgiveness. So come. Come to the party. A party where you belong, a party where grace and forgiveness is not a condemnation of you. It's not a competition, it's not a humiliation, but it's an invitation for a life of joy in God's presence. Party on, good people. Party on. Amen.